soft answers to tough questions. We love our enemies, so we don't want to alienate them. We don't want to increase the debate. We want to soften this. So what about tough questions about miracles? Well, the question about miracles itself is, how can miracles be possible? So let me share a couple of opinions from the skeptics' corner. The skeptics' opinion, following statements one ancient, one modern, rather modern, are typical responses that skeptical people make about miracles. Way back in 106 B.C. to 43 B.C., Marcus Aurelius Cicero, perhaps you've heard of Cicero, Latin poet and writer, in his Divinioti, see that one? There we go. There he is. This book, called Book 2, is in Latin, but I didn't want to share it with you in Latin and embarrass you. No, I couldn't read it either. He said, nothing can happen without a cause. Nothing happens that cannot happen. And what could happen when it has happened cannot be considered a miracle. Therefore, there is no miracle, for things which can happen when they have happened cannot be regarded as miracles. I noticed how quickly he diverged from the truth. The truth is, nothing can happen without a cause. We would agree with that. The cause being God in miracles, that's true. But then the very next thing he says is, nothing happens that cannot happen. So then he says, he supposes that he knows all possible causes so that things called miracles can have no causes. They cannot happen. He makes that pronouncement, you see. This declaration mixes ignorance with great pride of vast knowledge. As soon as he said that, what if you stepped into time there and said, really? Well, then you would know how this works, and you'd show him your cell phone. And your cell phone could call around the world, could calculate things with instant speed, gathering information, and he would say, I have no idea what caused that. It's a miracle. So he would have a personal miracle, you see. More recently, J. Leslie Dunstan's Protestantism, part of the Great Religions of Modern Man series, published in 1962, pages 128-129. Don't read books about world religions. These people that think they know everything about all the religions and they know nothing, and Christianity is just one of the world religions. Protestantism is one of those isms that they talk about. He says this, for example, there is the record of the life of Jesus Christ in the Bible. That record contains accounts of events which, in the light of the facts of natural order, which were known, could not possibly have happened. Children are not born to virgins. Angels do not bring messages to people. Men do not walk on water. People who die do not return to life, and so on. The story of Jesus was filled with what men had learned were impossibilities. Therefore, the story could not be a literal account of the actual happenings. When the New Testament was written, men may have been naive enough to believe the things that were said about Jesus, and they may have seen no contradiction between the reports and their knowledge of the world. But now, all was otherwise. So, these people laugh at the idea of miracles. Because they argue miracles are a violation of scientific laws, violating the law, you see, and thus are unacceptable to modern men. There is a logical foolishness, logical inconsistency in that concept. So let's look at the scriptural opinion. The scriptures, however, from beginning to end, tell of miracles, that is, events that do not happen in normal life or under normal rules. Disabled people were immediately healed, dead people were raised to life, and exceptional occurrences such as the worldwide flood and the parting of the Red Sea. So the question is, why does the Christian believe in miracles? Our belief in miracles begins with the biblical conception of God. The very first verse of the Bible decides the issue, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The verse simply states that time began when an infinite but personal God created the universe. If you believe this, miracles are no problem. If the Creator God has the ability to make all things, then a virgin birth, walking on water, feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes, and all the other Bible miracles are not only possible, but expected. You would expect Him, who can do such things, to be able to do anything. If, however, one rejects the concept of a God, he cannot accept miracles. For those of us who accept the possibility of God, miracles are not at all ridiculous. You see the logic? The presupposition of those who say miracles can't happen is that there is no God who can do miracles. If, however, one rejects the concept of a God, he cannot accept miracles. For those of us who accept the possibility, miracles are not at all ridiculous. As the Apostle Paul said, once said to a king who knew the scriptures, Acts 26:8, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible, unbelievable with you that God should raise the dead? You know about God. You believe in a God, in God." He was a student. Agrippa was a student of the Jewish faith. All right, second point here, or the third point, I'm sorry, the central issue. So follow this carefully. This is the logic that the others have missed. Point A, if God exists, miracles are possible. By definition, a miracle requires a supernatural cause. Therefore, the very possibility of miracles depends on the existence of God. To ask, can miracles happen, is to ask whether God exists. If he does, then miracles are not only possible but expected, for a miracle is an act of God. So this leads us to say that miracles do not violate natural laws. There's a mistake in the concept of a natural law. It is a mistake to argue that miracles contradict science. Scientific laws, think of it, do not cause events. Scientific laws do not cause events. They simply describe patterns of cause and effect that we regularly observe. So the laws of day and night do not cause the sun to rise. Just merely observes it. These laws summarize what normally happens, but they do not limit what can happen. In fact, coming down to it, you see, if you toss a ball in the air and it goes to the ground, you say, well, that pictures gravity, you see. But the fact that it does, and it does 10 times out of 10 that you do it, does not actually mean that the 11th time it might just keep on going up. It's only as long as this continues that this thing becomes a law, this law of gravity. So, they do not limit what can be done. To reject miracles because they are not everyday occurrences is self-contradictory. The laws of nature describe the ordinary, while miracles are extraordinary by nature. You're talking about two different things. Science studies the way things are. Miracles are not the way things are. Of course, you can't explain normal unnormal things by normal words. So miracles do not violate natural laws. Number two, miracles are unique events. Unique, today people use it to mean interesting and novel, but unique means one of a kind. A miracle is not something we can explain by ordinary processes. Its very definition is that it stands outside the usual order. To deny that something happened simply because we cannot explain it is irrational. Anything beyond our knowledge of how to do it. The proper question is not, can it happen, but did it happen? We can't answer, can it happen? We don't know enough. We don't know all possibilities. We don't know all powers. If the evidence shows that it did happen, then we must acknowledge the event, even if its cause lies beyond natural explanation. My third point here is that historical evidence supports biblical miracles. We do not defend miracles because there is a miracle law that we follow. It's the history. The miracles recorded in Scripture, such as the parting of the Red Sea, are supported by historical testimony, and historical testimony that is as strong as that which confirms many other major events in history. The fall of Rome, the campaigns of Alexander the Great, or the victories of Napoleon. The fact that miracles are rare does not make them impossible. It only makes them extraordinary. And then point B, miracles transcend daily experience. It's the unusual character of miracles, and that cannot be used to deny their reality. That's unusual, so it doesn't exist. Many of us are unusual, but we do exist. Our limited experience does not define the limits of possibility. This is Cicero, see? And so things that cannot happen didn't happen. He had settled up what could and couldn't happen, see? Pretty smug. The Bible teaches that the all-powerful God can and does intervene in the natural order whenever he chooses. So, let's conclude this concept. Five things here. One, the premise. If God exists, miracles are possible. Clarification. Scientific laws describe the ordinary. Miracles are extraordinary. You obviously will not use scientific laws to explain miracles. You're talking about two different things. Question. The issue is not, can miracles happen, but did they happen? We're asking about historical verification. Then the evidence. Biblical miracles stand on as historical a basis as other recorded events. Things that people don't question. Unusual things. Therefore, the rarity of miracles does not negate their reality. It highlights their divine origin. So this is the way to think about it. This is the way to say to them, I understand your confusion because all you know is what you know. All you know is what you have learned in the creation that God has made. But there was a time when there was not a creation. A time before time, I guess. And he did that. Do not suppose he can't do anything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have delivered us from the mundane, from the worldly. That we recognize that at the edge of what we call our reality, there is supernaturalism, There is the power of God. There are unseen angels that sometimes become seen. There are powers to accomplish anything you choose, so that an angel may say that with God nothing is impossible. We ask, Father, that you might then give us this world to live in and to become at ease with that, to recognize that all of science is working very hard to find out how God made this world. But beyond what he made, he acted within it as he chose. And so things that we cannot study, things that do not happen regularly or often, even more than once, we cannot study that. And so it's beyond our ability to study and reason. But Father, once we understand who you are, what you can do, then we understand that miracles are even to be expected. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you're saying, there's people that I can talk to. There are people that I haven't talked to. And to say to them, you doubt miracles, but you doubt it because you've locked yourself into the realm of what things are and what is normal. But there is a God who is outside the normal, outside the natural. He is supernatural. Perhaps you're saying, pray for me. Give me the words, the logic, to gently break to them that they have secluded themselves in the things of normality. But beyond it, there are great abnormalities. Perhaps you want to lift your hand and say, pray for me. Help me to understand this, be able to share it with those who are limited in their thinking. Pray for me. Father, then we turn our hearts to thee, asking you to give us that clearly superior way of thinking that includes the way things really are and not just the way we think they are. So we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.